I say the same thing. I can't put it into words, honestly. We have, this weekend has been so enjoyable for us. It's just the greatest thing in this life that we have is each other.
Yes.
Christ is in us, and when we gather together, we gather with Christ.
That's the truth.
And it blesses the heart. It encourages us. And we love you all, really, really and truly. And this congregation is, the only time I was here was for David and Elizabeth's wedding, and I never saw this building, and I've seen it now. And if the Lord is pleased to give you all another building, that'll be great too. And
right.
And Lord willing, we'll see that one too. But
it only has one wing.
well, I guess you got nowhere to go but down. But seriously, you come and you get to know the other believers, and then they're in your heart, and
yeah.
And we, myself, and every brother and sister in Kingsport will be praying for you. We already have been, but this has just been a wonderful weekend, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity. I am truly humbled for the invitation. No man, when the Lord calls a man, he convinces him that he's nothing.
Right. Oh yeah.
He really does. And there are so many men out there who can truly preach the gospel, and I'm humbled that you would have me come. I really am. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 34. I'd like to pick up where Brother Joe just left off, that his message was so perfect for this, I felt like. The title of this message is A View of What the Law Could Not Do. Deuteronomy 34, verse 1 says, And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, this mountain called Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. In the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes. But thou shalt not go over thither.
Amen.
So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto Joshua, as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1 says, Now after the death of Moses. After the death of Moses. Deuteronomy was the last book that Moses wrote. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the book of Joshua begins with the death of Moses. verse 1 goes on to say, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Joshua, the son of Nun, was Moses' minister. He was his servant. And God, in His will and in His purpose and in His good pleasure, He chose to raise up this servant.
Yes, sir.
And He chose to raise up this servant so that He might take His people across Jordan into the promised land because Moses could not do it.
Exactly.
He couldn't do it. Now, spiritually, what does all that show us? Romans 8 says, what the law could not do. Moses represents the law.
Yes, sir.
What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son.
Amen.
He said in Isaiah 42, behold my servant.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what He said?
Yeah.
In Galatians 4, He said, made of a woman, made under the law.
Amen.
Isn't that what He said?
Sir.
Subject to the law, a servant of the law. And He did that to redeem them that were under the law. He went where they were.
That's right.
John wrote, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The name Joshua means Savior.
Yeah.
Savior. It's the exact same name in the Hebrew that Jesus is in the Greek. And I want us to look at this morning. I pray this will be a blessing. I really do. Brother Henry said one time, he was talking about the importance of the meat and potatoes of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
He was talking about the absolute vitalness of the meat and the potatoes of the gospel. He said, but a little ice cream is nice too.
Yeah, yeah.
Something sweet.
That's right.
Yeah. And I pray this will be sweet. I want us to begin by seeing why God would not allow Moses to lead His people into the promised land. And then I want us to get a good look at this view. We just said that the Lord took Moses up to the top of Mount Pisgah. And He showed him something.
That's right.
And I'd like for us to see the same view Moses got, all right? Deuteronomy 34, verse 4. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Why was Moses not allowed to deliver the people into the promised land? Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 1 says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. That hard, hard bondage. That hard affliction. And I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Mm-hmm. Unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God said, Moses, you're going to deliver the people out of Egypt. You're going to bring them out of idolatry, out of that bondage and out of that idolatry. And Moses did.
Amen.
He did, after 430 years of bondage. And to put that in perspective, I read this in a commentary, and the man wrote it years, 100 years ago, but I'll apply it to the year now. To put that into perspective, this country has only been a country for 241 years. All right, 430 years is a long time. This is just a little over half of that time. That was a way of life. We don't know what it was like to live in under the British rule. This was just a way of life. And God, through Moses, brought them out. Now turn with me to chapter 14, Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14, verse 13, Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Amen. I can't imagine better news being told.
Amen. That's exactly right.
The Lord's going to fight. You stand still and keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
You're about to see God fight for you. And you're not going to see this enemy anymore.
That's right.
Verse 26, And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, and the waters, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Can you imagine that? I forget how much it is now, but I read somewhere that the part of the Red Sea that they believe they traveled through, the depth of it, it's way deeper than I thought it was. Can you imagine walking through that wall, looking into that water? Whales or whatever's in there, I don't know what's in the Red Sea, looking back at you. You know, kids trying to touch it and the parents saying, don't touch it.
Oh, yeah.
The fear of the Lord. Can you imagine that? They walked across on dry land. Can you talk about produce faith, you talk about produce assurance, you talk about produce confidence in God, right? So, verse 29 says, The children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Isn't that fantastic?
Yes, sir.
God did exactly what He said He would do.
Amen.
All right, the next chapter.
Yeah.
The very next chapter, chapter 15, verse 23, says, And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, What are we going to drink?
Yeah, exactly right.
They murmured against Moses. The next chapter.
Exactly.
Chapter 16, verse 2, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Murmuring and murmuring and murmuring.
Exactly.
Right here in chapter 16, verse 11, it says, the Lord spake unto Moses. Now, this is how God answered their murmuring. He said, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even you shall all eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. That means, what is it?
Exactly.
For they wist not what it was. They didn't know what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. You know how he answered all that murmuring and complaining? He gave them quails at night. And if you look right here at verse 31, Exodus 16:31, it says, the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Quails at night and honey wafers in the morning. Just delicious. Chapter 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord. And they pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Why do you tempt me? And they kept murmuring against Moses, and they kept murmuring against Moses.
Oh, yeah.
Now, yesterday morning, sitting right there on those three seats, was Hannah's cousin, Carrie, and her husband, Adam, and their little boy. But they have two more children. And their oldest is their daughter, whose name is Lucy, and she wasn't here. But when Lucy, and last time I told this story was 2 years ago, I think, in Crossville, and David Wright was sitting right there. And I just thought about that. I thought, I'm going to tell that story. I'll tell it to David again. Lucy was 5 years old. And we were at their house having dinner. And it was time to eat. And everybody's coming to the table, you know, and they told me to sit down. And Lucy's sitting right next to me. And she's a little bitty girl. And you'd have to see her. She has big curly hair. And she scoots up into her seat, you know, trying to get up in there, and she's got this picture she colored in her hand. And I said, man, that's a beautiful picture you have. And she said, thank you. She said, you want me to tell you about it? And I said, yeah, I do. So she held it up, and it had a man, and there was a waterfall and a bunch of people in the back. And she said, this is Moses, and these are the children of Israel. And she said, the children of Israel were whining and complaining. And they just kept whining and complaining. And they just kept on whining and complaining. She said, so do you know what Moses did? And I said, what? She said, he struck the rock. And she said, you know what came out of that rock? And I said, what? She said, living water. And the people drank, and they drank, and they were so satisfied. And she said, do you know who that rock was? 5 years old. I said, who? She said, Jesus Christ. And then she said, do you know what that rock did? And I didn't know. I forgot. And I said, what? She said, it followed the Israelites wherever they went.
That's right.
And that's what happened right here. They kept murmuring and complaining and murmuring and complaining. And if you look at verse 5, the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel.
Amen.
What was that a picture of? That was a picture of the law smiting Joshua. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The law smote the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of Him, that rock was Christ.
Yeah.
Out of Him flowed blood and living water.
Amen.
And through that blood and that living water, God the Father was satisfied. He needed blood to be satisfied.
Amen.
Christ satisfied Him.
Amen.
And God's people needed to be cleansed.
Right.
They needed to be refreshed with living water. And they're all satisfied.
Yeah.
Everybody's satisfied in Him. In Him all live. And that rock in goodness and in kindness did follow them wherever they went.
That's right.
Wherever they went. Now, go with me to Numbers 20. Numbers 20, verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin. In the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels. Now, this is what he said to them. See how kind God has been all this time. And Moses stands up and he pointed his finger. I guarantee you, he said, Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them.
Amen.
The first time God told Moses, who represents the law, to strike the rock.
Yes, sir.
For the sin of the people. They've murmured, they've complained, you go strike my rock. The second time God told Moses to go speak to the rock.
Exactly.
Just go speak to the rock. You just ask. You'll receive.
Yeah.
The rock has already been smitten. Grace and mercy has already been promised. Just go to the rock.
Yeah.
Just beg the rock. That's all you have to do. Speak to the rock. But Moses didn't do it. He struck it twice.
Right.
And God said, to do that is to sin against my justice and my righteousness.
Yes, sir.
The law cannot strike the innocent. And you know, that's our hope, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
The law cannot strike twice.
Sure.
Cannot strike the innocent. Christ was smitten once.
Amen.
His people were smitten in Him once, never to be smitten again.
That's
never.
Right.
God allowed Moses to do that to show us that all the law can do for us is damn us.
Exactly.
Condemn us. That's all the law can do. The law cannot forgive us, and the law cannot set us free.
Amen.
Cannot right. set us free. In order to be redeemed, we need a Savior.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Amen.
In order to make it all the way into the promised land, we need a deliverer. And that can only be Joshua.
Amen.
Only. only Joshua, Christ Jesus the Lord. So God said to Moses, you have pointed my people to this land all this time. Moses went and got them, and he brought them out, and he was pointing them to this land all this time. He said, but you're not going to be able to carry them in.
Exactly.
You can't carry them in. You're going to die and be removed from them. And they're going to make it into the promised land solely on the deeds and the merit of Joshua.
Amen.
Solely. Without the deeds of the law.
Amen.
He said, but before you die, before you're dead to them and they're dead to you, I'm going to take you up to the top of Mount Pisgah.
That's right.
And I'm going to let you witness what you've been pointing to all this time. Now go with me back to Deuteronomy 34. While you're turning back over there, listen to this verse of Scripture. Romans 3, verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That's what's about to happen right here, okay? Deuteronomy 34, verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see. And does your Bible have italicized words? It is in italics.
Yeah.
It was added by the translators. I have caused thee to see.
Amen.
With thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. God caused him to see some things. Now, if you look at all those locations on a map, I have maps in the back of my Bible, and I went and looked at them. And if you look at all those locations, it is a massive amount of land.
Yeah.
It's a massive amount of land. But God did not take him up there just before he died to show him a bunch of land.
Exactly.
God didn't do that. This is not about a vast area of dirt. He caused him to see some things. And you know he causes all of his people to see some things. All of us. He caused him to see the true inheritance of God's people. Just before he took him, he said, I want you to witness. I want the law to witness the true inheritance of God's people. He brought him up to a lofty height. You guys sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I love that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Here Moses stands. God brought him up to this lofty height and he said, I just want to show you what you've been pointing to. He said, I want you to look right over there, Moses. You see all that? That right over there is Gilead. He said, there's a balm there. There's a balm right there. There's a physician, Moses, who has a balm. And that balm is medicine that will soothe the souls of all the people you've been leading. You've been leading them. You've been pointing them. He said, Moses, I am that balm.
Amen. That's right.
I'm the physician. I'm the balm. I'm about to take you out, and they're going to be comforted. Don't worry about it. You think Moses loved those people? They're going to be comforted.
That's right.
I'm the balm. They're going to be taken care of. He said, Moses, look over there. You see all that right there? That's called Naphtali.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to preach a sermon on the mount. You see that mount right down there? That's where he did it. I'm going to preach a sermon on the mount right there. He said, the title of my message is The Bread of Heaven. That's the title of my message. Whosoever eats of this bread, Moses will never hunger again. He said, you know all that manna I've been dropping? I've been dropping manna, and I've been dropping manna, and I've been dropping manna. It represents the true bread of eternal life. Moses, I am that bread.
Amen.
I'm the bread. This is what all of it has been pointing to.
Yes, sir.
Moses, look over here. You see all that right out there? That's Jericho. There's going to be a blind man sitting on the highway side begging.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to pass right by that man and I'm going to open his eyes.
That's it. Yeah.
I'm going to come to him. I'm going to heal him. I'm going to help him. I'm going to give him eyes to see the truth. Moses, I am the truth.
Amen.
I'm the truth. Right over there. That right there is called Manasseh. I have an appointment, Moses, with a woman at a well.
That's right.
Right over there.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell her all things. And she's going to go running, crying, come see him here.
Yeah, exactly.
The Messiah is here. He said, I want you to look right here. You see that right down there? That's called Judah. There's a little town. You see that little town right down there? That little town is called Bethlehem. I'm going to be born of a virgin.
Yeah.
Right there. Right there near it, Moses. Do you see just outside of town right there near it, that garden right there? That garden is called Gethsemane.
Amen.
That's where I'm going to take all the sin of my people. You know all that murmuring, all that complaining? I'm going to gather every bit of that up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stuff it inside myself.
Amen.
And it's going to be so painful, it's going to be as though I were sweating great drops of blood.
Sorry.
He said, just next to it, you see that mountain right there? That's called Calvary.
Yes.
That's where I'm going to lay down my life.
Amen.
That's where the rock is going to truly be smitten. Amen. I told you to smite that rock. The reason you're not going in is because you smote it twice. And here's why. I am that rock.
Amen. That's right.
And right there on that mountain, the rock is going to be smitten, carrying all of that sin. He said 2 miles from there. Do you see 2 miles over there? That's called the Mount of Olives. After I finish suffering for my people, and after I rise out of that grave, right there off of that mount, I'm going to ascend back up to my Father and I'm going to sit down on my throne.
Amen.
Verse 1 says, Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountains of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea, and the south of the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And you know, we feel so sorry for Moses, don't we? Poor Moses, he didn't get to go in and lay hold of that sinful world, that just wicked place and all the sadness that came and all that. Poor Moses had to leave the earth right now and go back up with Jesus Christ to glory.
Exactly.
He was still his child. He's still one of the children of Israel. And he said, your work is done.
Yeah.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
So verse 5 says, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab. Who buried him? God buried him. God buried him. God caused the law to rest in peace. Do we see what that's saying? God caused the law to rest in peace. Verse 6 says, he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. No man is ever going to be able to go find that law and dig it back up.
Right, exactly.
Now, no man knows where it is. It's gone.
Amen.
It's gone. The strength of the law. Look at verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. The strength of the law was never diminished. When he died at 120 years old, he was just as strong as when he was 30 years old. The strength of the law was never diminished. Never. God just caused it to rest.
Amen.
God just satisfied it. Verse 8, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab. Don't we love God's law? We're not the enemies of God's law. God forbid. David said, I love thy law. The children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. He had the spirit without measure.
Yeah, that's right.
For Moses had laid his hands upon him. All the law, all the prophets says, that's the Messiah.
Amen.
Every
Amen.
Single thing is pointing to him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise.
Yeah. Amen.
Go over this Jordan. Thou and all this people, they're going with you.
Amen. That's right.
You're not going by yourself. They're going with you.
Amen. That's right.
Unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you. As I said unto Moses, it all goes to you. Every bit of it goes to you. And all through the book of Joshua, such a wonderful, wonderful book. God, Joshua goes to war. That's what happens. All through the book of Joshua, he goes to war and he starts taking all the land. God said, I've given every bit of it into your hand. And he starts taking all the land. And Joshua earns what God rightfully gave to his people.
Amen.
By the end of the book, we see that after Joshua took it all, you know what he did with it? He divided it all out. It was all his. And he sat down, didn't he, in Shiloh. They built the tabernacle in Shiloh. And that right there in the door of the tabernacle of peace, Joshua started drawing lines and doling it all out, tribe by tribe. And because of Joshua, every one of them received the inheritance God promised.
Amen.
All because of Joshua. You know what all of God's people say? You know what we're going to be saying for all eternity? Thank God for Joshua.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Thank God. It has been a true honor being here.
Yes.
And I've enjoyed it so much. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord bless you.